HarperCollins presents Orienting, an Indian in Japan. Written and read by Pallavi Iyer. Dedicated to Jean-Pierre Leman.
Prologue. We landed in Tokyo into the thin early morning light on an overnight flight from Jakarta. I'd never been to Japan before. A car from my husband Julio's office, the European Union delegation in Tokyo, picked us up from the airport and drove us over suspension bridges and through densely packed streets alongside the blur of bullet trains. Nothing felt substantial, but I recognized this feeling from my many first days in many different countries. There was a familiarity to the spongy, dreamlike dislocation, as though you could poke a finger into the air and feel it stretch like latex. I'd spent over 2 decades rehearsing these emotions. Since meeting Julio in 2000, I'd lived with him in the UK, China, Belgium, and Indonesia. We were practiced peripatetics, but when it came to moving countries, practice rarely made perfect. What we did know was that we'd soon learn just how ignorant we were anew. Julio was a diplomat and I was a writer. Over the years, we'd expanded our family to include 2 cats, Caramel and Tofu, and 2 boys, Ishan and Nicholas. Between Julio and me, we spoke 5 languages and we could mangle a couple of others. Personally, I fancied myself to be somewhat of an Asianist. I'd grown up in India, experiencing firsthand the early wave of economic liberalization in the 1990s. I'd gone on to live in China for most of the first decade of the new millennium, witnessing the rise of an Olympics-worthy Beijing from the razed remains of its communist past. Since 2012, I'd lived in Indonesia, where I'd written about the challenges of creating a national tapestry out of a plurality of fractured identities. A feat many former colonies, including India, had grappled with. But when I learnt in early 2016 that Julio's new posting would be taking us to Tokyo that summer, I confronted the fact that I'd been missing a critical piece of the Asian jigsaw puzzle, for there was very little of use that I knew about Japan. I was familiar with the troughs and crests of the political topography of the region, from its democracies to its autocracies, but what all the disparate Asian countries I'd known thus far had in common was an upward thrust of people and commerce. Delhi, Beijing, and Jakarta were noisy, chaotic, dynamic megalopolis, heaving with their own contradictory promises. Their trajectories were rising. Their stories suggested the promise of spring, albeit a polluted one, rather than the melancholy of autumn. But Japan was an anomaly. Its geographic location on the eastern edge of the map served as a metaphor for its seeming separateness from the rest of Asia. It was rich and quiet, old and punctual, a former colonizer rather than colony, rule-obsessed rather than loophole-hungry. In many ways, it was more inscrutable and less familiar than China had been to me before I moved there. In China, there had at least been the fried noodles and chili chicken beloved to Indians. But encountering raw fish for breakfast was not an appetizing or even particularly intelligible moment for an Indian. I only had an imprecise sense of the Japanese rampaging across the continent with bayonets and Walkmans. There were the snatches of pop songs that Japan conjured up, Big in Japan, and also Simon and Garfunkel's Kodachrome. I have a Nikon camera. I want...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?